message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. And we trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a real blessing and help to you. We're going to look again at Romans chapter number 6. We're going to turn there again. We've been studying the book of Romans together now for some time as we're trying to examine the foundation principles of the gospel of the grace of God that the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, lays down for us in the book of Romans. You remember now that the Apostle Paul says, "I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the Apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." The Apostle Paul is the special person in the Word of God, the special apostle in the Word of God sent to the Gentiles, to the nations of the world. Once God held relationship only with one nation in the earth, and that was the nation Israel. But Paul tells us in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, that through the fall of Israel, God has set the nation Israel aside temporarily. He has interrupted His program and His purpose with the nation Israel and set them aside in order that He might send salvation to the Gentiles. And He does that through the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory commits and communicates to the Apostle Paul. And my friend, it is in Paul's writings alone that you and I can find the walk, the doctrine, the duty, the destiny of the church, the body of Christ, in the dispensation of grace. If you want to understand what it is God is doing today in the dispensation of grace, if you want to understand who God, what God is forming and who believers are today, you have to go to Paul's epistle to get it. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on the earth, was a minister of the circumcision. That is, He was Israel's Messiah. He was the minister of the circumcision, the nation Israel. And that's a time past ministry. The 12 apostles, headed up by Peter and the other of the apostles, they were the apostles of the circumcision. They were Israel's apostles. God had chosen out the nation Israel, promised them a Messiah, given them leaders and governors and counselors, the apostles, those that are sent especially to them. It's not until you come to the ministry of the Apostle Paul, that other apostle. He's not one of the 12. He was separated from them. That other apostle with that other message in that other dispensation, this new program over here where God has set the nation Israel aside temporarily. He isn't through with Israel. He's just temporarily interrupted His program with the nation Israel in order to do something that He planned from before the foundation of the world to do, but He kept it secret. He kept it hidden Himself until the due time arrived to testify and reveal the information. That's why Paul calls himself the due time testifier. That is, the one who in due times manifested this secret message and purpose that God had. The Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory reveals it to Paul. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, and by the way, if what I'm saying to you is something you don't know about, let me encourage you to take Ephesians chapter number 3. Just one chapter will do it for you. And consider carefully the first 11 verses where Paul says, "If you have heard," perhaps you're like some others who haven't, "but if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me, to you, or how that by revelation Christ made known to me the mystery," Paul says, "which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed in His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." In other ages, before Paul, it wasn't made known. Now, with the ministry committed to Paul, this now time revelation is here. And Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." This new way for God's righteousness to be revealed and manifested. And that's what he's doing in the book of Romans, is laying down an understanding of the foundations of the gospel of the grace of God that is committed to his trust. And I'll remind you that in Romans chapter number 2, verse number 16, Paul says that in the day that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The gospel committed to Paul is the standard by which God Himself is going to judge the secrets of men. You, my friend, and I will be judged according to Paul's gospel. That is, the gospel committed to Paul by Christ. That's why he says in Romans 16:25, "Now to him that's of power to establish you." That is, God can stabilize you and bring stability into your life as a believer according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that God will establish your life as a believer as you come to understand the grace and the message of grace that Jesus Christ committed to Paul, and the message and the ministry that is distinctively found in Paul's epistles. That's where stability in your life as a believer can be found. And my friend, the reason that Christendom today is in such a disarray, the reason that Christendom gives such an uncertain sound of the trumpet today, the reason that the body of Christ today is unable even to maintain its own integrity, much less go out and influence the world. It's a sad day when the news media of the world, the news programs of the world, and the tabloid television programs have to expose the error and the hypocrisy in the body of Christ, and the church itself sits mute and looks at the hypocrisy in its midst and just sort of yawns and is afraid to speak out about it. It's a sad commentary on the spiritual impotence of the body of Christ itself. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm a part of the body of Christ. But I tell you, you look about you and you see the seeming powerlessness, the seeming impotence of not just the professing church, but of the true church itself. And you say, why is that? The reason, folks, for the instability on every hand is a departure from and a rebellion against the authority that God has placed in the message committed to us through the Apostle Paul. To rebel against Paul's authority as our apostle is just as though Israel in time past would have rebelled against the message that God gave to them through Moses' authority. The issue isn't the man. It wasn't the issue of the man with Moses. It isn't the issue of the man with Paul. With Moses, it was the God-given message to give Israel. With Paul, it's his God-given message for us. So when we're studying the book of Romans, we're studying something that is basic, something that is critically important. The average church you go to, you can drive up in the parking lot on Sunday morning and you can just sort of unscrew your head and leave it on the seat of your car. Probably ought to lock it up. You're going to need it when you leave, but you won't need it while you're in the church building, because you're going to go in that church building, and what's going to happen in 97% of the times in Christendom is that when you get inside that church, you're just going to go through a process of mindless repetition of just doing things. And this is not just in the liturgies and the liturgical churches. It's in even the more fundamental evangelical churches. They just do things because they've always done them, rather than being a conscious and a thoughtful understanding of the revelation of God's Word. Rather than their worship being that which is an intelligent response to an understanding of the truth of God's Word, it's just sort of a mindless kind of a thing. And my friend, and I say it to you on this program week after week, month after month, your Christian life won't operate on the basis of ignorance. That's why Paul in Romans 6 says, "Know ye not? Don't you know?" Haven't you been intelligized with an understanding of what it is God's done for you in Christ at Calvary? And see, that's where the key is in coming to understand what's going on. I had a man come to our church one time, and he was there a couple of months, and then he came to him and said, "Preacher, I can't go to your church anymore." And I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "It's too much work." I said, "Well, too much work? What do you mean?" Well, he'd come, sat in a pew, sat through the service, go home. He hadn't done anything except come. I said, what do you mean it's too much work? He said, well, you know, I come and we sit there and for 35, 40, 45 minutes, we study the Bible. And everybody's writing notes and we're studying and writing notes and studying. He said, church I used to go, two people wrote notes, but they weren't writing notes about what the preacher was talking to each other while the preacher preached. He said, man, you gotta work in your church. You gotta study. I said, well, excuse me. That's what it's all about. I mean, the verse says, study to show thyself approved unto God, doesn't it? A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm happy to say that this fellow stuck it out, but it was different to him, see? And I know as you perhaps tune in this broadcast and see the Bible study here, it might be a little different to you. But my friend, the issue isn't, I mean, maybe that's the difference between what the Bible says and what you hear out there sometime. But the key is to get in the Word of God and apply yourself to understanding and take an understanding of what God says in His Word and then see that truth live in the details of your life. Now, we're down in Romans chapter 6 and we're down here in verse number 11, but I want to start in verse number 9. Romans 6 verse 9. Knowing, once again, an intelligent understanding of some facts, we need to know what has been done for us in Christ. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Jesus Christ, when he went to Calvary, and died. And when he died at Calvary, the Bible says there that he died unto sin. That is, God put our sin upon him and poured his wrath out against our sin there, and he died unto sin once. There is only one sacrifice for sin that God is interested in, and it's not something you do. It's not something a priest or a preacher or a pastor does in your stead. It is what God's Son did for you at Calvary when He died as a sacrifice for your sin. That Bible says that God Almighty made His soul an offering for our sin. And when Jesus Christ died there, He was dying. He wasn't being a martyr to show you a good a way to God. He wasn't just some reject that preached a little bit and nobody would. He was dying as a payment for your sin. He literally died your death. And then God raised him from the dead. So he died that you might be free from sin. Because verse 7 there says, he that is dead is free from sin. And then he was raised again, the newness of life over here, that you might walk in newness of life, that you might be able to then serve him in life. You see the issue here, you need to understand, knowing. You need to know what Jesus Christ did for you. He paid for everything that's wrong with you at Calvary. All of your sins are completely and totally under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ if you have trusted Him as your Savior. Now, if you haven't trusted Him and Him alone, relied exclusively, trust only in Him, relying exclusively by faith upon what He did for you at Calvary. If you've trusted Him to be the Savior that He died for you to be, then all that He accomplished at Calvary, that then is your death. Now, if you're trusting the church, good luck. If you're trusting some religious leader, have at it, you know. You say, well, my holy man goes down over it. Yeah, well, have at it. Trust him. You're going to last long as he lasts, and he won't last too long. And you check him out real close, and you'll find out he's not all that reliable. But Jesus Christ, he lived a perfect sinless life. He lived under the scrutiny of his enemies, and he lived a perfect sinless life. He kept every precept of the law righteously in order to demonstrate that in his death, his life was righteous so that his death could be efficacious for you, could be effective for you and for me. He had no sin of his own. Sin is a transgression of the law. He never transgressed it. But he took our sin and died for it and paid for it there. And then he's resurrected over here so that you and I might share his life. And in sharing his life, he pays for our sin, then he gives us his life. The finality of Calvary is that all of our sins are paid for. The reality of the resurrection is The old song says, He breaks the bonds of canceled sin. He cancels our sin, and then He breaks the bonds, the chains of those sins, and sets the prisoner free. And that's why he goes on to say in verse number 11, Romans 6:11, likewise, since you know these facts about what Jesus Christ did, therefore, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. The faith walk of a believer. We're to understand the facts. There are some facts to know and understand. And when we understand the facts, then we are to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He says, if you understand these facts, if you understand what God has done and accomplished in His Son, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what He's accomplished for you, then reckon ye yourself. Reckon it. Count it to be true of yourself. Put your faith in this. Have the faith walk. This just has to do with walking in line with the facts of what God says. I talked to a man one time and after a meeting in a Bible conference, and he came down, he said, Preacher, I need to talk to you. And, we went into a prayer room and sat down with him, and he says, I got a problem. I said, well, welcome to the club, we all do. And he says, well, and he pulled a pack of cigarettes out of his pocket. And he said, I'm a smoker. And I said, well, is that the biggest problem you got in life? And he says, well, no, because I'm a boozer too. And he said, I can't stop smoking and I can't stop drinking and I can't stop running with the girls down at the bars. And he said, I just can't stop these things. And he began to talk about it and began to cry. And he began to confess his inability to stop sin in his life. And, I listened to him for a couple of minutes and let him whine a little bit and get enough of it. And I finally stopped him and I said, Jim, listen, I want you to stop lying to me. Well, I'm not lying to you. I said, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. He said, no, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. I'm doing all these things. I said, I don't doubt that you're doing all of them. I want you to quit lying to me. This man, I talked to him about his soul, about his salvation. And he had the greatest testimony. Here's a man confessing his sinfulness, and he can't quit his sin, he can't stop this, and he can't quit all these things that people condemn him for and that are wrong. And I asked him, well, what makes you think God will take you into His heaven? He said, there isn't anything in me that would ever make God accept me. The only hope I've got is the fact that Jesus Christ died for me, and I've trusted Him as my Savior. And if He doesn't get me in, and if His death doesn't do it, nothing that I'm ever doing will. Well, brother, that's what salvation is. That's the testimony God wants. God wants to see your faith resting in His Son. The issue in the Christian life is not stopping sin so you don't sin anymore. The issue in the Christian life is not you quitting something. The issue in the Christian life is what God did for you at Calvary, and you trust in that, and you relying on what He's done for you, not what you're going to do for Him. So I told him, I said, I want you to quit lying to me. He says, well, I'm not lying. I said, read me the verse, Romans 6:7. He that is dead is freed from sin. If God said he that's dead is freed from sin, God says you're free, that means God said you don't have to keep doing it. God said you are free, you're telling me you aren't. Who's right, you or God? The fact is, God has set you free in Christ. And it was like a light bulb went on in that guy's mind. Wow. There's some of you sitting right there watching this program. And you've thought that, well, God told me not long ago, He said, well, I tried the religion stuff. I tried religion and it didn't help. No, that's the problem. You tried religion. You didn't try this and it didn't help. But I've known people that have trusted Christ as their Savior, like this fellow I told you a minute ago, old Jim did, and not understand the facts of what happened to him. You better get in that book, folks, and find out what it is God did for you. Jesus Christ didn't die at Calvary just so you could join the church. He died at Calvary so you could die to sin and be made alive unto God. And he says, therefore, reckon yourselves. Have a faith walk that says, I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to God. This is who I am now. See, that's the key. That's what a faith walk is. And if you want the fruit of that in your life, if you want the fruit of the Christian life to be produced in your life, folks, your faith has to rest on the facts of Calvary, and your faith resting in the facts of Calvary allows the Holy Spirit the liberty to take the truths of those facts and bring forth fruit, put them to work in your life out here, and that's the only way. You can work on the fruit out here all day. You can try to clean your life up and get rid of this and get rid of that, and you're just like a guy with a big orange tree out in his backyard gonna take that doesn't like oranges, going out there picking all the oranges. You can go pick all those oranges all day long. Problem is, next season, you're going to have more oranges. See, the problem, the way you get rid of the oranges on the orange tree, if you don't want oranges in your backyard, you cut the tree down. And that's what God's done. He's set us free. And then he's given us his life. And once we understand the truth of that, our faith is to rest in that. And the faith walk of a believer, in order to have the fruit in your life, is just to say, here's the reality. I'm free from sin. I'm dead to sin. That old life is over. And here's who I now am in Christ. This is the real me, the new creature. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the faith walk of the believer. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should abet in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, your body, parts of your body, as instruments of righteousness. You see, the problem we have is that we're still here on planet Earth. Our flesh is still alive, the old man, and that's where sin resides. Now, there's a reason God has left us here in a body of sin. You see, he left us here to be his ambassadors. If we're going to be an ambassador for Christ on planet Earth, we have to live in a vehicle, a body, that is capable of taking us around on this planet to do the work that he's given us to do. But he's equipped us so that in our mortal bodies, we can bring forth fruit. And the fruit comes from within us, the life within us. We can bring forth the fruits of righteousness as we walk by faith in the reality of who God has made us in Christ. Now, next time we're going to have to talk about the issue about where sin comes from, and how you can yield yourselves unto sin and yield yourselves unto righteousness, because the time's going to be gone here in just a minute. But you need to understand that the place where it starts is walking by faith. Faith is a mental attitude. Faith is something that you do in your thinking. You take what God says and you say, that is what is true. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, here I am in my body, but the life that's living in me is not mine, but it's the life of Christ living in me. It's Christ living in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's his life. And his life, his death has set me free, and his life enables me to use that freedom for his glory. You see, in the Christian life, the issue isn't just stopping sin. That's already been done. God has already put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now somebody says, well, you know, if you preach grace like that, then somebody's going to go out and live in a way they want to live. Well, you were doing that already. You don't need God to save you for that. Look at here. If God has equipped you as an adult and his family, why in the world would you want, understanding that you're an adult, why would you want to go live like a child? If God has made you wealthy, blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places and given you the riches of His grace, why would you want to go back and live like a pauper? I mean, I guess you could, but it would be kind of childish and stupid, wouldn't it? If you have an understanding of what it is He's done and your faith rests on it, then you don't live the life of a pauper, you live the life of fruit bearing and fruitfulness. And see, the issue here is not just, it's not simply to beat up on sin, you know. Well, there's a guy out there and he's got a mustache, we've got to get him, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not that religious tomfoolery that's trying to tell you what to do and when to do it, what not to do and all that kind of stuff to make you all look like the religious system. The issue is having the life of Christ manifest in your mortal bodies so that your life and time on planet Earth is a life in which His actions and His attitudes, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ under the praise and glory of God, are manifest. Literally, the life of a believer is to be an outbreak of the righteous character of Almighty God on the stage of human history. And that's possible as your faith rests in the facts of what God has done for you at Calvary. For your faith resting in the facts of Calvary is what gives the Holy Spirit the liberty to take those truths and set them to work in your life and bring forth fruit, the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. God help you, my friend. I hope you're a believer today, that you've really trusted Christ as your Savior, and that as a believer, you'll then allow the Lord Jesus Christ in His life to be the issue in your life. Take the faith walk. Trust Him to be saved, and trust Him as your Savior to be your life. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that you'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Free at Last. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 269. That's tape offer number 269. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until next time for another Message of Grace.